a minute and a half. Call us now, 877-500-5266, or go online at kboo.fm.
Give us a call, light up that line. Thanks, Pledge Central. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And so there is just enough time for you to call in right now as the programs change over. I believe we have Air Cascadia coming up next at 10 a.m. And 877-500-5266 is the number. So you're listening to KBOO.FM, because in that manner, we can go out to all the ships at sea.
I'm Eileen with the Oregon Cultural Trust. Community radio means access to music, news, and programming for everyone. That's why I support KBOO with my contribution every year. It's also why I match that gift to the Oregon Cultural Trust. When you make a gift to KBOO, make a matching gift to the Cultural Trust by December 31st. Then you can use the cultural tax credit next year to reduce your state tax bill. It's true. And it's also how KBOO supporters guarantee access to cultural programming in Portland and all around the state. Visit culturaltrust.org today to learn more before December 31st.
KBOO Portland.
Good morning, Cascadia. This is an extraordinary day. We've got an extraordinary guest. It's Thursday, November 30th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio, your whistleblower radio. And of course, in Trump's world, this would be a fake news radio as well. Trump made a remark that the whole world was watching as his tax bill rumbled through the pipes in Washington, D.C. The whole world was intent upon this. Well, yeah, the whole world is definitely intent upon the United States right now, but it's not because of Trump's tax bill. Fancy that. Fancy insulting our pretty much our last ally in the world, except for Israel. Wow, what a statesman. This, of course, is KBOO 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM everywhere, including that important, crucial button on the KBOO website that allows you into the inner circle, as it were, And, of course, makes you more beautiful, far richer, and more intelligent than everybody else because you're a member of KBOO. Wow, that's fantastic. The whole world is watching our membership drive. Or they could if they wanted to, I suppose. Yes, indeed. Today we're going to be talking here on Air Cascadia to Donna, no less an eminary than Donna Brazil. It's pretty exciting. I'm going to rip through this, some weather for you just before we get to it. Today we've got rain mainly and a high around 47. Tonight we've got more rain and a low around 43. No wind worth mentioning. And for tomorrow, it's going to stay rainy and temperatures are going to stay fairly low. Tomorrow we got a 50 and tomorrow night 44. On Saturday, the high will be 48 and 50. So that's basically it. It's going to be chilly and it's going to be wet. And now moving right along, I have... always maintained in my world, such as it is, that when I find myself cornered, I apologize first, and if that doesn't work, I confess. I realize that there's an enormous latitude and there are many subtleties. And in the incredible labyrinth of presidential election politics, Donna Brazil has kept her head above water as other people rise, sink, splutter, and sometimes burn out. One thing we can say, I do think that Democrats are intent on doing their best if they can figure out what that might be. It is an extraordinary story. There's an amazing book out right now. It's called Hacks, the Inside Story of the Break-ins and Breakdowns that Put Donald Trump in the White House. Donna Brazil's book reads like a political thriller. It is, one can feel an aura of danger throughout the book. It's not defined, but it's nonetheless there. Probably... it was a precognitive shadow of the Donald Trump presidency. Good morning, Donna. Thank you so much for being with us. We welcome you to KBO Aware Waves.
What a great honor. It is so good to hear your voice. And while the weather may be wet today and somewhat damp and chilly, throughout my entire career in politics, every time I've come to Oregon, I've just enjoyed the people, and of course, I've enjoyed so many of your great political leaders. So thanks for having me on today.
Well, I do believe that Oregon indeed would welcome you as a kindred spirit in many ways. I just want to let other listeners know a little bit of background, if it's okay with you. Our guest today, Donna Brazil. Is an American political strategist, campaign manager, political analyst, and author. She was the first African-American woman to direct a major presidential campaign, acting as a campaign manager for Al Gore in 2000. And she has been in politics, as I understand it. So you have been in politics since you were 9 years old in New Orleans. And you stood up for a candidate, you campaigned on behalf of a candidate who had promised a playground. And I think, for me, that image, and that is all, it's sort of a metaphor for everything else, a single-minded intent, eyes on the prize in every way and at every... At every point along your career line. So it's this situation, this business of leaks, hacks, and so forth. The America that I knew, that I would recognize, is pretty much a thing of the past or a thing of the edges, and the edges are where everything's interesting. Page there's a page in this book that knocks me out. It's 228 and 229. There's a lot that come together. There's a lot of ends that come together there. There's a quote here that say, the best course was for me to apologize, and I did. Would you like to talk about that? There's about a paragraph there. I want to talk about apologies and confessions and the nature of truth in this era.
Well, I felt it was necessary, given some of the allegations that were put out last year as a result of WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks sought to use the hacked stolen emails that they received from potential Russian intelligence sources. They used it to divide, to distort, and to create a false narrative. And the narrative that was created that I had to deal with personally was that I gave so-called questions to one candidate, and without put the context. The context, of course, was that most people probably remember that the Democrats had agreed to only hold 6 debates. I decided, along with many other officers, to increase the number of debates, town hall meetings, and forums. And as a result of that, I gave the candidates heads up as to what topics, what questions, what potential issues that we would discuss. Again, this was in an effort to expand the number of debates, town hall meetings, and forums. And at no point did I try to, quote unquote, provide information to one candidate, but instead I was trying to give everyone heads up. And so I apologize, because once your emails are hacked and stolen and they are put out on the internet with no context, you have an obligation to try to, quote unquote, clear up the discrepancy. And unfortunately, because the emails that I had from the DNC were basically lost during the data hacking, I could not provide those emails, and nor could I verify that what WikiLeaks put out was correct, because after all, it was WikiLeaks. It was John Podesta's email, and John Podesta didn't verify them, and so I had a hard time. Therefore, I just decided the best thing to do was to apologize. Look, I have no problem. I've been involved in politics, as you mentioned, since the age of 9. I made plenty of mistakes. There are things I wish I could redo, but here's what I do believe. I love my country. I definitely love my political party. I have tried to help as many people as I possibly could over the years to run for office. In fact, I was in Alabama just 2 days ago, because I want the American people to understand what's at stake in each and every election cycle. I come from a place in the country that we struggle to get the right to vote, and so I feel very strongly about the right of every American citizen to participate. But I also know that when you make a mistake and when you can't clear up a discrepancy, the best course of action is to apologize, because it makes no sense to keep a controversy going. There are many people who've used it to smear me, to distract from the overall content of the book, which is about the hacking. And that's the reason why I became chair of the Democratic Party for the second time in my career. But I want the American people to understand the severity of the hacking and how do we prevent it from happening again in the 2018 election, 2020 election, and beyond.
Just to let listeners know, we're speaking today with Donna Brazile, and we're talking about this incredible book, Hacks, which is literally something that you walk around the house with and ask friends to call you back because you're reading it. It's something else. The story, when it underlined for me how easy it is and how people do tend to just incorporate whatever mainstream media puts out into the narrative without questioning it. We are so incapable or loath to examine our prejudices, so to speak, and I'm sure you know what I mean with there. But it seems that this is what happened in large part. I still find there to be a huge gulf between the accepted narrative and the actual ground truth in a story that you tell and that people can easily discover for themselves. So why not just attribute the leak material to WikiLeaks? And furthermore, it seems that with or without leaks from anywhere, the questions in question would have naturally, those would naturally have come up. So it wasn't like these were some kind of obscured, hidden material. It seems rather obvious. So it seems like a lot of directions. Let's just say that
well, it was disturbing. I found most disturbing about the coverage of the 2016 campaign, in addition to the leaking and the emails and servers, etc., I found disturbing that we as a country and the media in general didn't probe what was going on. They did not question the veracity of what was happening and who was leaking this material. They took it as almost the gospel truth without saying, well, what else is there? When the first leaks occurred following the DNC discovery that we had been hacked, it was clearly in response to the DNC saying, we were being hacked, and then the first leak by Guccifer 2.0, DC Leaks, was in retaliation. So every time the DNC tried to explain what was going on, there were more leaking occurred. So in the book, I describe after October 7th, when it was revealed that the Russians were indeed hacking, the intelligence community finally confirmed. Later that afternoon, Donald Trump, it was revealed,